Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. She was or is at the helm of one of the biggest school systems in this region. Dr. Monica Golson was appointed interim CEO of the Prince George's County School System after the tumultuous tenure of Dr. Kevin Maxwell. Well, tonight we're talking to her about all things having to do with the school system. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Golson, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start with the news. Yesterday, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan was very, very critical of the Curran Commission report, that report asking for billions of dollars over the next 10 years or so to provide equitable funding for public schools in the state. He said that it would significantly increase the minimum wage and devastate the state's economy. Your thoughts about that?
I actually have had the opportunity to speak to many of our senators and delegates about the Curwin Commission and the Maryland Blueprint for Education. And every last one of them are very committed to make sure that we get the equitable funding needed for Prince George's County Public Schools. And what they're willing to do is to work to find the funding to support our school district, which is 91% children of color. What it will show is that we will probably, along with Baltimore City, get the bulk of those funds. And so our delegation on both the Senate and House side will work strategically to make sure that they find funding that will not possibly, will hopefully not increase taxes, but know that education is a priority, and we'll do, and they will do what it takes to make sure that we get our due share.
Do you think that schools in Maryland are equally funded, including Prince George's?
Well, I have the privilege of working with Dr. Alvin Thornton, who's the chair of the Prince George's County Board of Education, who created the Thornton formula that we use for equitable funding. And so we do know that right now that there is a disparity in how we receive funds. And even through our own calculations, realize that over time, we're short approximately $600 million that should have been provided to our school system. Mm-hmm. So when we speak about equity, we do know that there's a shortfall that has existed over years. And we have to make sure that we continue to hold the state accountable for those funds that they have to provide to every local education agency.
As a product of Prince George's County schools and schools in the state of Maryland, why do you think that is? Why do you think that there is an imbalance when it comes to funding for some school systems more than others?
I think as a being a product of the school system, I've had the opportunity to be here for a while. And when I was growing up, we had a lot of education advocacy that existed early on. And what I have found over time is that that advocacy for equitable funding has lessened, unfortunately. I can say that last Monday, we had an opportunity to have a march for our schools in Annapolis, and Prince George's County was the largest group overwhelmingly, because our community now realizes that we can no longer remain silent about equitable funding. And I do know that the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and so unfortunately, our folks have not gone out to speak about that equitable funding over years and have now decided that we must wake up.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Dr. Monica Golson, who is the interim CEO of the Prince George's County School System. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. Of course, we will be taking calls throughout the hour. One of the things that you've said that you wanted to do is to restore the confidence in the Prince George's County School System, parents, teachers, and the like. Have you been able to do that in this short period of time?
I think it's an ongoing process. I work every day to provide responses to our community within 48 hours. I ask the same of our staff. I created listening sessions when I first came into the position, not only in our community, but for our staff as well. It's important that our community knows that their voice is heard and that our actions every day are what helps us to begin to restore that trust that I talk about all so often.
But let's drill down a little bit more about that. And the reason I ask that is because prior to the current administration, the Alsobrooks administration, the Baker administration, and I too have been here for pretty much all of my life, restoring confidence, improving the system and the like has been something that is preached from the pulpit of public education in the county for decades. How do you believe that, why do you believe that these things have deteriorated, and beyond just the listening sessions, what's your strategy for that?
Yeah, it's important that it's the village concept that helped to raise me through this process, and it's what I'm going back to. Most recently at our State of the Schools address, I challenged our businesses to support and adopt a school, not just to go in one time, but to be there throughout the entire school year. Our children have to see role models in front of them every day, and they have to know that our community is invested in them. Many times, people listen to what other folks say in the grocery store about our school system. They haven't necessarily actually been to the facility to see the amazing students that are in every last one of our schools. I have the opportunity to represent 134,000 students, and when I see them, I see dreams. I see students who want to do what's best and who want to propel and excel.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. Robert calling from Suitland. Robert, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. My question is that this casino came here and I thought the money was supposed to go to the school system, and also those speed cameras, they make a lot of money, and I thought some of that was supposed to go towards the school system. So I don't see where that money should have been a real problem. That's all.
Dr. Golson.
Yes, we get that response many times. It's important to know that the funding originally goes to education, and most recently there was legislation that most people know of as the lockbox, and the funding from that will go towards education. But remember, there's more than just Prince George's County that exists, Prince George's County Public Schools that exist in our county. It'll also go to our community college as well.
Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking to the interim CEO of the Prince George's County School System, Dr. Monica Golson. Is money the true answer to improving the school system? Because we've heard again over the past several administrations trying to put more money into the school system, but there has to be more than that.
Oh, it's definitely more than just money. Money will help, but what I emphasize with every last one of our leaders in our buildings, our 207 schools and principals, is that you have to monitor what's going on in the classroom. That's where excellence takes place every day. And when we fall short of that, then we can't achieve what we ultimately need to do.
Let's go to Shalinda calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Shalinda? Shalinda, are you there? Give us a call back if you can, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You mentioned your Adopt the Schools program. Is beyond bringing money from successful businesses, for example, into school systems, how else do you want them to participate? And what would be, from in your mind, the purpose of them doing that?
Thank you. That's an excellent question, because I actually gave our businesses three areas that I need their support. The very first one is college and career readiness, and that is actually providing experiences for our students to come from their school to the workplace so they can make the connection between school and work, and then having those employers come to the school and serve as mentors to our students. The second area was the in-kind and service support, and that is, we don't necessarily say that all the time we need that financial contribution. We need the people people who can come in and provide as tutors, who can serve as science fair judges, who can help a teacher with a lesson and connect it to the world around them. And then the third area is truly in that service project. This is the piece many of our businesses do well, and that's the coat drive before the winter break. That's the backpack drive. That's the beautification projects. It's important, and I shared this with our business partners, our students have to see you more than once. I need to make sure that our students know that our community is invested in their success, and they will see them over time. It helps to also shape the narrative about our school system, because when now you've been in there more than once, you can help all those naysayers and say, well, I've actually been there, and these are the experiences that our students have.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tammy calling from Forestville. Thanks for calling, Tammy. What's on your mind? Turn your radio down, please.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing just fine.
My comment is that I'm a product of the PG County school system. I worked with Dr. Golson when she was at Wise High School. and
Tammy, turn your radio down for me, please, and then go right ahead.
Okay, I currently, I'm no longer with the school system anymore. I currently work at MGM. As the first caller said, that some of the funding is supposed to go to the school system, but it goes to various entities besides the school system. How can the parents or parents that are no longer have children in the school system help with what's going on with the school system today?
So are you talking about volunteers or just, you know, concerned citizens? Because I would imagine you don't have to have a child to be concerned about the health and welfare of a school system. Is that what you're asking?
Exactly.
Okay, please go right ahead.
So actually, we have several areas. One, we are always open to have volunteers. And so, Tammy, I'm sure that you know that our doors are always open to alumni and people who have worked for our school system to come back and assist. And at the same time, your advocacy about ways that we can continue to improve Prince George's County Public Schools. So if you can send me an email at CEO@pgcps.org, I will connect you so that we can begin to assist in making sure that you can help to volunteer and support us to continue to become the excellent school system I know we can become.
Okay, Tammy, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to the interim CEO of the Prince George's County School System, Dr. Monica Golson. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let's talk to Rodney calling from Upper Marlboro. Rodney, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Good evening, folks. I just wanted to get your thoughts on year-round schools for Prince George's. And I'm also looking for you from what's an outside-the-box idea that you would like to implement?
Thank you. We actually have done a little research on year-round school. And most recently, some research that we reviewed has shown that actually the academic student achievement gains that were expected to be received at schools with year-round actually were not gained. So we'll continue to do some additional looking into it. I do know that several schools in our local Maryland, D.C., and Virginia area that are year-round are actually looking at going back to the traditional schedule, which is what we currently have. In terms of an out-of-the-box strategy, we really are every week analyzing our transportation situation. There's no secret about it. Not every last one of our buses are on time every day. And so I monitor our on-time arrival of buses weekly, the attendance of our bus drivers, and we've just implemented an attendance incentive for them. And so I believe that we are going to have to do and come up with some different strategies for out-of-the-box to resolve our transportation issue. Transportation is an issue nationally for school districts. And so the traditional of having rotating, constant job fairs has not worked, and we're going to have to think out of the box. So if you just stay tuned in the coming months before the school year concludes, I will present to our Board of Education a plan that I think will help us to resolve some of our issues as it relates to transportation.
Rodney, thank you so much. I want to go back to the Adopt a School program that you talked about earlier, but in the context of the call that we got where you are also inviting people to, you know, to come in and help and to mentor and help the schools improve. You know that we are in a very difficult day and time where school safety and security is paramount. And even as we have a successful and, you know, prestigious members of the business community wanting to come in and improve the schools, parents, whether they have kids or adults who are not directly part of the school system, how do you protect the kids? You know, there have been some scandals in the district, to be quite frank, about, you know, sexual assault, molestation, and the like. How do you do that when you want to invite the community in?
Yeah, that's key and important. And I understand the importance of safety in our schools. I'm a parent of a student who attends one of our schools. And so for every adult that's in our building that's coming to volunteer, whether you're doing it as an individual or as an organization or company, we do require a background check. We will not allow you in our building without that background check. In addition, we have daily measures that we utilize. Every last one of our schools have a buzzer system to buzz you in with a camera. Once that person enters, they go to the main office, and then they have to swipe their state-issued ID to determine if they show up on a registry that is kept nationally. We want to make sure that our students are safe. One of the things we did at the beginning of the school year was actually have all of our central office staff randomly go to every last one of our schools unannounced, walk the perimeter of the school, check every door to see if we could get in. Once we then used the buzzer system to get in, the goal was for staff not to walk to the front office, but to try to go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure our staff at our schools knew every day we have to be on a sense of protection of our children and our staff. And for those schools that did not meet our mark, they got an individual conversation on that same day about expectations and then a letter from me to follow up. We're going to do that same thing again in the spring.
Let me quickly go to Dave. Dave, calling from Upper Marlboro. What's on your mind, Dave?
What are you going to do about, like, vocational school programs and life skill programs for the kids? Like, how to once they come out of high school, how to get a job, how to apply for a job, how to apply for, you know, college and stuff like that.
Okay.
It seems like that's one of the biggest problems.
Let me see if she can answer that briefly. Go right ahead, please.
I'm going to try to do it briefly. Mm-hmm. Actually, vocational education is now called career and technical education. We actually offer CTE courses in every last one of our 31 high schools, and we are starting the first in the state of Maryland, a pre-apprenticeship program. Students just applied, and as juniors, they will have on-the-job experiences in those areas that we typically used to call vocational. They actually will work in the summer alongside our own maintenance staff and be paid $15 an hour. Will complete courses their senior year, and then we will help to pay for them to take courses at the community college so they can get their technical skills assessment and then go right into the world of work.
Thank you so much, and thank you for that question, Dave. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to the interim CEO of the Prince George's County School System, Dr. Monica Golson. This conversation will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a bit. Jeff Brown and the original Quiet Storm on WHUR is next, but this conversation continues. So you can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking to Dr. Monica Golson, the interim CEO of the Prince George's County School System. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I keep introducing you as the interim CEO of the Prince George's County School System. Do you want to take that interim off?
Actually, I do. I did go into the role July 23rd, but who's counting? And when I went into the role, I made sure that I didn't pay attention to the title, but that my actions continue to focus on students during this entire school year. I'm very much interested in the permanent position. I've been I'm a product of the school system. I'm a parent. I'm a lifelong educator for Prince George's County Public Schools. And I have a sense of urgency for wanting us to get it right. We don't have the time to bring someone else in at this time to analyze and assess where we are and to determine next steps.
What grade would you give yourself so far?
It's interesting you say that. I actually did this exercise with my executive leadership team last week, and I gave myself a C.
You gave yourself a C?
I sure did.
Why would you give yourself a C?
I think there is so much work that has to be done. And the one area that I think we just have to continue to keep harping on is academic excellence and what takes place in the classroom every day. I've found that I have had to look at every division in our school system and look for, we're going through a process of determining what the potential risk could be in every division. And I've looked at those areas and know that we have to improve in terms of efficiency and organizational effectiveness. But at the end of the day, I have to keep coming back to how will this improve the academic achievement of our students? And even though I give 110% every day, I probably am the most critical person. I'm most critical of myself because I want to get it right for our kids. That's what's most important. I look at my son. I look at my son's friends. I talk to them. I talk to kids every time I go to a school. And what they want and desire has to remain our focus. You know, that's an excellent question. When I got my doctorate, I got a 4.0, so I'm grateful for that. I'll take that. I don't know that for myself, I'd give myself an A ever, because I always want to excel for even greater and higher heights.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dolores calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Dolores, are you there? Go ahead.
How are you?
Just fine, thanks. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm calling. I'm Dr. Golston. I want to say that you are not my interim. You are my CEO.
Thank you.
And I want to just really just touch on the fact that I want to highlight, or if you can speak to a little bit about some of our language immersion programs that are really preparing our children for this global economy. And I have a lot of friends who don't even realize that we have a Mandarin program, French immersion program, and Chinese programs that are being offered, and our children are excelling in those programs at a rapid pace.
Go right ahead, Dr. Golson.
And don't forget Spanish as well. We have robust immersion program, and what's phenomenal is that in year after next, we will have an opportunity to have all of those students in one centralized middle school so that all of our language immersion students will be in one location. That'll be the first in the state of Maryland. And then our hopes are then to move those students from that middle school immersion program to a high school language immersion program. Ms. Milhouse is being, she's one of the advocates for language immersion and has been with us since her child was young and has worked to make sure that we continue to promote language immersion in our school system. What we know from research is that students who have dual languages will excel no matter what obstacles and content they receive. They're going to be exceptional students once they graduate from the school system and in the world of work. And so it's important that we continue to invest in our immersion programs and also still offer world languages at all of our other schools as well.
Dolores, thank you so much for your phone call. Angela calling from Bowie. Angela, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm just calling because I am a previous employee, but I'm also a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really finding it really hard within being the lens looking in. You have kids that have these IEPs, especially, but they have an IEP, which is a legal document. But you have teachers that's not following through. Then parents have to go outside and pay advocates to come in to just get the little things you need done when you try to work as a team player, but they're thawed and then they brush off. And I don't think that's fair to the kids who you want to see successful. You know, you don't just give them a grade because of that, but also you need to work with them. And when they don't follow the IEP as a parent, I really think that's disheartening about what's going on with our kids if you really care.
Okay.
I actually agree that we have to do a better job of making sure that our teachers in our schools are following our students' individualized education plans. That's what IEP stands for. Mm-hmm. And so I have charged our central office team that we will begin the process of randomly selecting students in schools to actually go in and determine if we are implementing those IEPs. It's important that what I tell our staff and our students all the time is what gets monitored gets done. And when our staff realizes that we will randomly select sites, we will select students, and we will make sure that IEPs are being followed and that there are consequences when they're not, I believe that that will help to increase the effectiveness of the use of those IEPs. The second one is that we'll be hosting a special education fair in the spring along with our county executive so that we can provide additional resources to our special education community. And one of those is the use of free advocates to help and work with parents to assist when they're going through the IEP process. I find that many times parents are actually paying for advocates when there are several organizations that you can utilize those services for free. So we will make sure that we spread it, post it on our Facebook, website, Twitter, so that you can come out and participate.
Okay. Thank you so much, Angela. Let's go to Vicki calling from Bowie. Vicki, thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Okay. Yes, hi. Quickly, I'm calling because I think that the two main problems with our PG school system. One is the size of the classes. We have too many students in each in the class per teacher. And second, I think the quality of the teacher. Because I have some friends who are teachers in different counties, and they joke about that what kind of the teachers go to the PG school system. And they kind of to say that it's not the best teacher. We're not getting the best teachers. So I just want to know what
Dr. Golson. Go right ahead, Dr. Golson.
Yeah, so the class size issue is really compounded by our need for additional schools in our system. So I am blessed that I've had the opportunity to work alongside our county executive, Angela Alsobrooks, and we spend at least a day and a half to 2 days in Annapolis actually talking about a public-private partnership bill that will allow us to build 18 schools in 7 years. Never been done. In the northern part of our county, we are extremely overcrowded, and so you will find places where there is a large class size. We have to begin to tackle that, and the only way to do that is to really begin to address a master plan support project that was initiated 5 years ago and begin to look at building new schools. That's the first part. The second one, in terms of the quality of teachers, also has a lot to do with compensation. And in my fiscal year 2020 request, I have requested funding to ensure that our teachers receive compensation because we are competing against other jurisdictions that are right next door to us. That's also helpful because in the Maryland Blueprint for Education, there are funds available for those school systems who are able to provide 3% increase for their teachers. The state will provide an additional 1.5% increase.
Vicki, thank you so much for your phone call. I want to ask you about Principal Gorman Brown at Flowers High School. He was put on a paid administrative leave after an incident involving a student. Has he returned?
So actually, he has been cleared to return to school. It was probably about a week and a half after the incident took place. We were lucky that we had police staff there, but we also on that same day, we provided the police department with footage from the incident. So what most people saw was footage from a student from a cell phone. We actually have videos throughout all of our schools, and we were able to use that footage to determine next steps and what would ultimately turn into a consequence for staff or necessarily, in this case, a student. He has returned to work, and we're continuing to provide support to Charles Herbert Flowers High School.
So here's my question, because and certainly that's good news for him, and certainly that the student gets the kind of support that he needs. There are dozens of teachers, and this isn't a Prince George's issue. This is a nationwide issue as it relates to teachers or administrators who were put on paid administrative leave as a result of accusations, problems, not following rules, whatever they happen to be. And sometimes some of those individuals are on paid administrative leave, not for weeks, but for months. That, I'm quite sure, can be financially difficult for the school system. Cleared or not, what can be done to streamline that process?
Yeah. First, let me say, not only is it a financial problem, but it's a problem academically. When you don't have that teacher and administrator in the building to provide that support to the student one-on-one every day. Having been in the school system, I knew that that was an issue. And so when I took the position in July, I immediately began the process of analyzing how many staff we had on administrative leave and what we needed to do to complete the investigations, make an analysis, provide the consequence, and either return them or release them from service. I'm grateful that as of today, we have less than 20 people who are at administrative leave. It is a challenge of our employee labor relations staff to make sure that they review, analyze, and that we're able to come to a conclusion in 2 weeks or less. It's important that they know that our employee labor relations staff, they understand the importance of having a teacher in front of our kids immediately if they have been cleared, and if not, they are not welcome in Prince George's County Public Schools.
Michelle, calling from Upper Marlboro. Michelle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. Thank you for having me. Hello, Dr. Golson.
Good evening.
I just wanted to ask about your communication plan to the parent body, and the reason I ask is because my son took the PSAT, which would determine whether he would get into one of the specialty schools in high school next year. I had no idea that he was taking that. And I think had I known, I would have probably pushed him a little harder, saying, hey, you need to study this, or hey, take this study guide or something. And also along with Annapolis, the March, I only found out about the March because I was on PGC-PCS. That was a tongue twister. looking at the website, and that's when I found out about the March. I didn't even know about the March. And also, one last thing, shameless plug for my son's principal, Denise Dunn, who is awesome.
Okay. Great. So communication is key. One of the things that I have done is done a quarterly newsletter, which I issue every quarter. If you go to our webpage and scroll down to the bottom, if you're not receiving it, just click on the eGov and you can sign up to receive it electronically. We've also talked about the communication piece in terms of our parents getting information. And having had a student that was in middle school, I do know that this is true. We send students with letters home, but they never make it to the parent. They remain in the backpack. In terms of the PSAT, we sent that information out in December 2018. And so, unfortunately, our children lose items throughout the school day and school year. So we've actually conversed about creating just a portal on our website where clearly parents can go to and click on communication that they can utilize and see what we've sent out district-wide.
Okay. Michelle, thank you. There's another couple of other specific things I wanted to ask you about. This goes back to Flowers. And some of these things obviously have happened since you were appointed interim. But I did want to get an update on this hidden camera at Flowers. Why was there a camera, from your understanding, placed in the principal's office in a smoke detector?
Yeah, so from what I understand, I just want to clarify, it actually was not in a smoke detector. It actually was just a camera placed in the school, in that office.
But it was hidden, wasn't it?
It was in a location where clearly the principal had not been forewarned that the camera would be placed in that office. From my investigation and receiving and reviewing reports when I came into the position, it was actually a decision made by previous director of security and another staff member. The rationale and justification we have yet to really truly discover. When I came into the position, I knew how our principals felt about that situation, and I immediately asked to have a list of where all of the cameras were placed in every school.
How did they feel about it? What did they tell you?
They were not happy with it. Having been a principal, I've been in my office before where I've had to actually change clothes in order to go from one event to the next, and it's unsettling. And so what I committed to our principals was providing them a list of every camera that's in their building. They received that before we started the school year. I also provided an opportunity for our security staff to give me a list of every camera throughout the school system so that I could reassure our staff that there are no hidden cameras anywhere else throughout the system.
Do you believe there were prior to your request for information?
I do believe that I do know that once I got into the position and started to ask some questions, I know for a fact that there was a camera placed in our warehouse, which is where we used to house many of our supplies, and it was used as a deterrent for theft.
But what about schools and other principals' offices in any of the schools, high school, middle school, elementary?
That was the only one. I reviewed that list extensively, and then I also sent it to every principal so that they could have their own eyes on it and make sure that they knew where every camera was located.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Corey, who just called in, and calling from Bowie. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with Dr. Monica Golson, the interim CEO of the Prince George's County School System. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Corey, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Corey. What's on your mind?
Yes, my name is Corey Tabron.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Golson, she was actually my principal between 2006 and 2008.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, how you doing? You probably remember my mother. Her name's Melody Spruill. She's very active in the community.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about mandatory financial literacy classes for the students?
I think it's important that our students know how to manage their money. It's actually part of our curriculum starting in grade 8. We require every 8th grader to participate in what we call Finance Park. They have an opportunity to go there. They get to select their occupation. They're given that salary based on the occupation, and then they have to use those expenses to then purchase a home or live in an apartment, buy furniture, car, determine if they want to get married, to have kids, etc. When students leave from that experience, they have an eye-opening experience. It tells them what to expect when they become adults, like I'm sure you have experienced now. And not only do we start at grade 8 there, but we also offer a financial literacy course to students in our high school. We have over 1,000 students who are currently taking a financial literacy course that's offered as an elective course. One of the things that we are going to pilot in one of our high schools is a financial literacy course for all 10th graders. And so once we've done that at a school and done some research and assessed the success of the program, we'll then begin to determine if we will be able to expand that across the district.
Corey, thank you so much for your phone call. I want to talk a little bit of politics, if we can. Dr. Alvin Thornton is the chair of the school board. Arguably, the relationship among the school board members now is considerably better than it was under the previous administration. What is your relationship with the board?
I actually work extremely well with our Board of Education, and every opportunity I get when I'm in public, I share that. But what's important to know is just because we get along doesn't mean they don't hold me accountable. And that's what they're expected to do. They're a governing body. And so I have opportunities to meet with every board member individually, and then I meet with them as an entire body. We talk about ways that we must work together to improve Prince George's County Public Schools. And so it's important that when people watch our Board of Education meetings, that they do see that we are focused on work and on our children. And so we work extremely hard to make sure that that comes across to our community every time that we're in a Board of Education meeting.
But temperament does matter, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Temperament matters not only in this role, but in every role that exists in the school system.
So do you believe that, and I'm putting you on the spot here,
sure,
as it relates to, you know, Dr. Thornton, obviously his temperament is different from the previous chair. Do you believe that his temperament has been able to provide a more cooperative culture for the board?
I think it's not only just Dr. Thornton's temperament, but it's also because he served in that role before, about 20 years ago. In addition, he provides the historical context. So when we're really looking at issues and how to tackle them, he helps us to see either we've been here before, this is what we've done, or this is why we are here now. And I think having that helps to frame and helps us to work as a team to create strategies and solutions for issues.
How do you plan on handling the uncomfortable and difficult residue of the graduation scandal?
Actually, we address it and handle it every single day. So a year ago when we received the response to the audit and the recommendations, immediately our team went into implementing those recommendations. And literally in 6 months, we were able to complete 28 of those 33 recommendations. I had an opportunity to present to the Maryland State Board of Education in January how serious we were about that graduation audit. And during that conversation with them at the conclusion, the state board president said, I believe that Prince George's County has the best process in the state of Maryland because we have been scrutinized, we took it seriously, and we wanted to make sure we weren't back at that same spot again.
And certainly this is not a Prince George's County issue. This is not a DCPS, a DC public schools issue. We have seen these kinds of scandals, these kinds of issues of dishonesty, even as far back as the city of Atlanta's school situation. As a student or as a parent, you know, if I'm concerned about whether or not my diploma is worth the paper that it's written on, what do you tell me?
So first, I want to thank you for acknowledging that it's not a Prince George's County public school issue, that it happens, it exists across the United States. That's number one. So we're not immune to the situation. The second piece is that question came up a lot by our students. And what I had to say to them many times is that what's not in question is the delivery of instruction and the content that you're receiving every day. That's not in question. It's the grade change process that we had created and policies around what that process looked like. Because what happened is that adults got into arguing back and forth, and we forgot about the students that were behind every last one of those diplomas.
What worries you the most as the interim CEO?
What keeps me up at night is making sure that our students are safe and the experiences that they have outside of the school environment. I think most people would say, you know, are your most difficult days those days when something negative comes in the media? And it's really not. The most difficult days are those when we lose a student. And that's what keeps me up at night. This school year, unfortunately, we've had three suicides this school year. And there's a sense of urgency for us to want to get to our community so that our parents and our community members can understand what those signs are. And we've had a student most recently pass away from just illness. And so that's what keeps me up at night, that worries me, is that are we providing the best experience for that child to ensure that any experience or any obstacle that comes that way, we have provided some resources that they can go to get support.
You said that you are a mother and you have a child in the Prince George's County school system. How are your concerns different as a mother when compared to the CEO position?
I think they're bundled together. I think that's what makes this position and me unique. It comes out in my decision making that I have for weather calls. I do my very best to make a decision for weather the night before because I am a parent and I had children when they were younger. Mine's now a junior, but I know that you got to make decisions about who's going to be there to take care of your child, who's going to get them to school if there's a delay, because you still have to get to work. I know that. So all of that affects my decision making.
Was that your first or biggest hard day in the job?
No. The first day was my fourth day on the job when I made the decision that I would do an executive level reorganization and tell 120 people that they had to reapply for their positions and some of them would not have them.
Why was that so hard?
It was hard because these are people who have, this is their livelihood. They still had to take care of their home. But it was important that I stressed right then that our focus had to be on students, that we had to create an organization that focused back on the schoolhouse and that allowed us to redirect the central office executive level funds, the salaries, back to our schools. I'm grateful that even though that was a difficult decision to make, I was able to save $2.4 million that I gave back to our schools.
One of the things that I found really interesting, and this may very well be the last comment from you is during the shutdown, day to day, no one in the county knew what was going to happen from the White House. What was that like from a leadership position? Because the Prince George's County school system and federal government workers across this country were put in a, there's no other way to put it, it was crazy. What did you learn from that?
One, I learned that when we place a charge before our community, they're going to come forward.
But I mean for you personally, because obviously everybody was coming forward, whether you had soup kitchens in downtown D.C. or the like. But I'm talking about when you were sitting behind your desk in that quiet moment and you were trying to figure out what are we going to do while we wait on this shutdown to end.
What we decided to do was not wait for the shutdown, but was to respond to the needs of our students. We have schools that are close to the Census Bureau that's in Suitland, so we knew that many of our students would be impacted. So we created a 10,000 meal challenge. That was to make sure that every student was fed, their parents didn't have to worry about lunch money, and that actually came from staff. We literally were in a meeting, they sent an email, and staff said, what can we do to help? And then we met as a team and said, this is what we can do. And literally in 1 week, we met that 10,000 meal challenge. And when it continued, we changed the challenge from 10,000 to 20,000 meals because I didn't want our parents to worry about that. We sent a message to our parents that we got you. Send your child to school. They won't go hungry. If there's a field trip that has to be taken, we'll take care of it. We'll pay for it. We're here for you. And we're going to make sure that this is the last thing that you have to worry about are your children.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation. Dr. Monica Golson, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate it, and good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Wednesday, March 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.